the congregation, let us now hear the holy law of God, this time from Deuteronomy chapter 5. We'll read verses 1 through 29, and we hear the second reading of the law, Deuteronomos, the second reading of the law, the second law. So Israel receiving it not only at Sinai, but also before they crossed the Jordan River into the Promised Land. That will be at the same time our scripture reading for this morning. So Deuteronomy 5, beginning at verse 1. Let us hear the word of God. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not his covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord, for ye were afraid by reason of the fire, and went not up into the mount, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy ox, nor thine ass, nor anything, any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, neither shalt thou commit adultery, neither shalt thou steal, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone, and delivered them unto me. And it came to pass, when ye heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that ye came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and said, Behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with men, and he liveth. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as we have and lived? Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when he spake unto me. And the Lord said to me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said that all they have spoken. Oh, that there were such a heart in them, that they would fear me, and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Thus far, the holy word of God to us, law and gospel. May he bless it for hearts and lives. Dear congregation, the summary and substance of the law of God can be captured in one word, and that is love. And it's very important to keep that in mind all the time. Jesus said that to love God above all and our neighbor as ourselves, that on that hangs the whole law and the prophets, the entire word of God. That's why the law is not abolished. For love is not abolished. The law is fulfilled and exemplified in the Lord Jesus Christ. He lived it for us and before us as our example to follow. As it is with the Lord Jesus, so it is with every one of us who is a believer indeed. Love rules. We're ruled by love. That's it, to delight in the law of God. We have 10, as we've seen, love rules. 10 rules to live by. Not 9. Or 8. 10. Still the Decalogue. Still the 10 commandments. All 10. Even the 4th. Though Sabbath keeping seems to have fallen in disrepair in many churches today. We wish to consider it this time from the perspective of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 5. You know, we find the law in Exodus 20, where the people of Israel heard it when they had just left Egypt, when they stood at the foot of Mount Sinai. But then 40 years later, they heard it again. Actually, the next generation heard it again, when they were about to enter into the promised land. So that means something. If you paid attention, you noticed that the reason for keeping Sabbath is different in Deuteronomy 5 as compared to Exodus 20. Let's now read just Deuteronomy 5, 12 through 15, and also the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 38, question 103, which you can find on page 74. So, Deuteronomy 5, verse 12. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Question 103. What doth God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained, and that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is, on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God, to hear His word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord, and contribute to the relief of the poor as becomes a Christian. Secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Our theme is then love rule number 4. Keep Sabbath. In the first place, we'll consider rest in God. Second, glory in God. And thirdly, delight in God. Love rule number 4. Keep Sabbath. To rest in God, to glory in God, and to delight in God. In Exodus 20, verse 8, it begins like this: remember. Here, in Deuteronomy, it says, keep the Sabbath day. So the word remember in Exodus 20 clearly speaks of something that they already knew about. Remember the Sabbath day. It was not something new on Mount Sinai. It was not just limited to the people of Israel. It was something that had been around from the very first week of the earth's existence, right from the very beginning, when God rested on the Sabbath day. Remember and keep. Continue to keep. It really means. It was a creation and is a creation ordinance. In Exodus, read, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy and so forth. It says that we should not work on that day. Thou shalt not do any work. But then it says in verse 11 of Exodus 20, for, that means because, in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. For that reason, God did it. Remember that. Remember, the Lord says, that you are a set apart people. And that I've given you a set apart day, so that you may remember that you are a people set apart. Really, that's what the word sanctify and being hallowed and keeping holy means. That we stop and consider our Creator, the one who made us. You should remember that. Israel knew this. In Exodus 16, boys and girls, we read that story before they were at Mount Sinai about manna. And they had to collect every day the portion enough for the day. But on the sixth day, they had to collect a double portion so that they would rest on the seventh day because it was Sabbath. So it's very clear. They knew this. And they kept the Sabbath day, they were remembering the Lord. So it predates Sinai, it predates Israel as a nation. It's a universal law for the whole world, for all people, at all places, at all times. It's not abolished. It's part of the Ten Commandments, the ten love rules God has given us. You see, they're a reflection of the character of God. How could it ever be abolished? Keep Sabbath. Observe it. Celebrate it. Now, it is true that we may not work. We're commanded not to work. But we also should look at it differently, boys and girls, young people. It's also a day that we need not work. That's a blessing. You may just lay down, 1 in 7. Lay down your work. You don't have to go to school. You don't have to work. So, this law is not a restraint. It's a gift. It's a blessing. It's a privilege. We don't have to work. We may rest. Don't have to feel guilty for not going to the office or to work. What a privilege. Jesus says in Mark 2:27, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It's made for us. Yes, we worship God, but it's made for us. It's to benefit us. It's a gift, God's gift to us. It's a good gift. The call to rest. Rest from our labors, from work. Very plain, we read it, that we should not do any work. We are servants, our children. But it's more than that. It's more than just resting from work. It's more than not working. It's set aside for a holy purpose. It's to rest as God rested. Now, how did God rest on that seventh day, boys and girls? What do you think? Was he tired? No. God cannot be tired. He didn't rest because he was tired. He rested because he, as it were, sat back. Humanly speaking, as you have done a great job at school, maybe you made a nice project, and you sit back and you look at it. You think, it worked. It went well. The Lord delighted in the work that he had made. He saw, we read in the end of Genesis 2, that it was good. Yes, very good. He delighted in the work of his own hands. Yes, he delighted in his own glory. That's what he did. And he wants us to join in that resting. In him, not only from work, but in him. That's it. That's why he blessed it and sanctified it, set it apart for a holy use, focusing on him, on the Creator, not only the creation, but the Creator. That's why it's holy. Because it fixes everything on God. We created image bearers of God to reflect something of his character into this world. Around us, the reflections of who God is. And in order to do that, and how to do that, is why we come to church. So we remember him, and as we have remembered him, we can again deal with the people around us and children. This is what Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1 says in a different way. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember him, particularly on the day of rest. We remember our Creator. Not only remembering to rest from our labors, but in God. Remember him who made us and who keeps us, who gives us life every day. Our Creator and Provider. We do that in private, but we do that also in church. We gather in the house of God for that purpose. And it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Because Jesus is Jehovah who saves, who gives rest. So really what we hear here is an echo. In the other words, do this in remembrance of me. Everything through Christ. And that's why we read question 103. What does God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel and schools be maintained. That I, especially on the Sabbath, that is on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God to hear His word. To use the sacraments. Do this in remembrance of me. Publicly call upon the Lord to petition and to praise God and contribute to the relief of the poor as becomes a Christian. Brings us to a second point, for we not only rest in God, but we glory in God. We lift up His name, we praise Him. Notice in the answer, the words gospel and Christian in connection with Sabbath keeping. Notice that we have a shift of focus, an enlarging of what we have at the first, looking only at God as our Creator and Provider, but also as our Redeemer. The shift is moving away from only creation to creation and redemption. And we see the very same shift when we compare Exodus 20 with Deuteronomy 5. We see an enlargement of Sabbath keeping, not a reduction. And we see this all the time throughout the scripture, an enlargement of Sabbath keeping really is. Focus is, of course, on the gospel. Good news for bad people, for sinners. Preached and taught in church and in the schools. Catechism classes. Seminary. Day school. All with the same focus. Maintained and supported in the church on the Sabbath day. In prayer and in giving. We value Christian schools. And notice too that it says that I diligently frequent the church of God. That means do my utmost to visit, to attend as often as I possibly can. To not let my seat be empty. When the people gather, the people of God gather for prayer or for praise or for worship. That's why it was good to see many of you there this past Thursday when we gathered for prayer. But many of you left your seat empty. Perhaps you had a lawful reason. Maybe not. It speaks of diligently frequenting. The word frequent is the verb that means visit often, attend often, show it to be a priority, especially on the Sabbath day. In other words, as much as possible on other days, but particularly be there on the day of the Sabbath to keep Sabbath. It's a privilege. It's a duty too. But it's far richer to consider it a privilege, a blessing, a gift. Our confessions, our catechism too, our heritage puts it so very beautifully, so scripturally here. Because it's reflective of the Word of God. It's reflective of the character of God. The Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. Not only to rest in God through Christ, but to glory in God through Christ. As our Creator, as I said, Provider, and our Redeemer. That's why we find in Exodus 20 that we are called to remember, as it were, Him as our Creator. But in Deuteronomy 5, remembering Him as our Redeemer. as the one who set us free. Listen, in Deuteronomy 5, verse 12, we read, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God commanded thee, back at Sinai, in other words. But then in verse 15, read this, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Therefore, because I brought you out of Egypt, I made you a set apart people. Now have this day set apart unto me. I want to fellowship with you. And you, if it is right, want to fellowship with me and with each other. So the reason to keep Sabbath is not reduced, but expanded. That's why every Sunday morning, we read, even in Exodus 20, a remembrance of this. I am the Lord, thy God, which I brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. It's because I redeemed you, I set you free, I give you everything you need, not only the moral law, but also the ceremonial law, the way of the blood, that you may and you can do all that I command you. He removes all our objections that we're unable and unwilling by saying, I've made provision for that too. I am the Lord, your God. You are my people. Now live up to that. That's what he's saying. This is the way how. You'll lack nothing. We need to be reminded of that every Sabbath day. You see, deliverance from Egypt is really a picture of the gospel. It's not just about God's people back then. It's about us today. It's God's living word coming to us as it came to those who lived in those days. Set free to worship God. Set free to serve Him, to rest in Him, to glorify Him, to honor Him, to live for God, to live to God, by His grace, by His word, by His spirit, by His fatherly care. I'm a triune God, He says. Everything you need, I have. Come to hear it. Come to receive it. Especially on the Sabbath day. So that we could on Monday go back into the wilderness of this world. You see. As pictured by Israel. Leaving Egypt. Going through the Red Sea of baptism as it were. Then in the wilderness of this world to be tested, to be tried, to be fed and encouraged. The water was there. The rock followed them, which is Christ. The manna followed them every day, which is Christ. The bread from heaven. Be set free from Satan, from this world, from bondage, from pollution, from sin. So that we can face another week. All obtained by grace through faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. As it was seen and pictured and foreshadowed in all the sacrifices. Streams of blood couldn't do a thing. But it did point to the blood that can. That's the blood of Christ that cleanses from all sin. As I said, the Lord Jesus said in Mark 2:27, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And he goes on to say, 28, therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. His Lord over all. Also the Sabbath. The Lord Jesus kept the Sabbath day. But he ruled it at the same time. He didn't bow to the demands of the Pharisees. To keep it in their way. He was a keeper, true keeper of the Sabbath. And Lord. He kept all 10 commandments. including the fourth, when he said, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. And that includes Sabbath keeping. But in a different perspective than the people of his day thought it had to be done. Truly, in Jesus' life, love ruled as in no other. It kept every one of them perfectly. Because he truly was God's perfect image bearer. He restored what we lost in the first Adam. Even bringing it to a higher level, higher plane. He fulfilled, he kept the ceremonial law. The shedding of his blood ended that. It was done. Once and for all. The veil was rent. The way to God and to the heart of God is open. No more ceremonial law. But he did not end the moral law. He kept it. He fulfilled it. Yes. But he exemplified it at the same time. And he lifted it up to a very high level that outside of him, we would not have even begun to understand nor keep. And again, that includes the fourth. Not abolishing it. Reinforcing it. Giving even a further added shift and focus to it. You see, Sabbath keeping didn't end with the Old Testament. It had barely started. It had hardly begun in the Old Testament. Even today, the congregation, we have only barely tasted what true Sabbath keeping is really all about. If only a small beginning of it, a foretaste of it. If we would truly, diligently frequent the church of God, we would begin to understand more of it. Diligently frequent. Not only coming as often as we can, but preparing our heart to receive the Word of God. Being on our knees, pleading that the Lord not only would speak, but that He would speak in such a way that I would hear it and do it. Children, young people, older ones, did you pray this morning? By yourself? Specifically? That the Word of God may be coming with power in your heart. Yes, that you may see Jesus today and meet with Him. If you did, you'll be blessed because you will see and hear more than those that sit around you. If you didn't, it may be just words to you. Hebrews 4:9, we read, there remains therefore a rest to the people of God. Let's labor therefore to enter into that rest. That's an amazing statement. Labor to enter into rest. And Jesus says, all that labor, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Well, that's exactly what that laboring is all about. To enter into that rest is to look to Christ, to flee to Him and lean on Him. That He may be all in all. Lest any man shall fall after the same example of unbelief. Let it not be said of you. There remains a rest. A Sabbath. A foretaste. That's all we have here. A beginning to live up to keeping Sabbath. Do you see that it's not something that is to be laid aside and something that's for the Old Testament? Far be it from us. As Joshua in the Old Testament led God's people into Canaan, so the New Testament Joshua, Jesus, leads His people into heaven to find rest, to be taught and trained Sabbath after Sabbath. So to find rest in God, to glory in God, looking back and beginning to look ahead. So Sabbath keeping has been the same in essence all along. Yet in form and in depth and in manner, it has expanded and is still expanding. It's love rule, number four. And it comes from the heart of God because it has its focus on delighting in God and glorying in God and lifting up His name to stand in awe before a God who is love. Even now, the call to hear the Word of God, to use the sacraments, to call upon God's name, to contribute as a Christian. In a few words, it describes a worship service as we have it. As a Christian. And we heard not too long ago that the word Christian really means little Christ. So as Christ, so we keep Sabbath. So loved by Him, and to lay hold of that, so that we may love like Him, as He lived and loved. Loving of God above all, the love rules 1-4. A neighbor is ourselves, the love rules 5-10. And not one of them is missing. Not one of them can be lacking in this golden chain. So we not only rest in God, but also glory in Him. We praise Him for restored love. Isn't that what He did? We lost it, but He gave it back through Christ. You see, the fourth love rule connects with the next, the following ones. It's the last one of the first table. Before we go into love rules number 5-10, before we go back into the world, into the week of our labor, it's a time to pause and to reflect and to remember that we don't need to do it in our own strength, that we cannot, that we will not, but that He provides. You see, to truly live the rest of the week is to love and to begin doing that on the Lord's Day. That's what brings us to our third point, to delight in God. So to keep Sabbath is to rest in God and glory in God, but also delight in God. As God delighted and still delights in the work of His hands, in Himself, so we may and must do that. To do it with Him and to do it like Him. And no man can do it. That's why He sent His Son. For He is man and God. So that in and through Him we may become, by the grace of God, perfect Sabbath keepers. As I said earlier, in Adam we did keep Sabbath perfectly, but we lost it. Thanks be to God that in His Son, the Lord Jesus, it is restored. In principle only. We have all that is Christ's is ours, but we're still in this world. We're still in the wilderness, as Israel was. They weren't in Canaan yet. So in Christ it is restored, recreated, we could say. People like to talk about recreation on the Sabbath day. Well, here it is. You want your recreation in Christ. New life. You come to church, confessing your sins, being washed. You get fresh zeal, new love. And Him who died and arose from the dead the Lord Jesus, on the Lord's day, to be quickened by His Holy Spirit as we hear His word, as we use the sacraments, as we call upon His name, as we distribute our gifts. So as the shift in Sabbath keeping is seen throughout the Old Testament, where not only we worship and adore Him as our Creator, but also as our Redeemer, we see also the shift, further completed, in the shift from the Sabbath day Saturday to the Sabbath day Sunday, or Lord's Day. From the 7th to the 1st. Still one out of seven. You see, we don't now only meet with each other on the Lord's Day, but we meet with the Lord Jesus Christ, or rather, He meets with us. We're coming here in our own mind and thoughts to meet with Him, but He is here to meet with us even before we come here. The Word, as it were, is waiting for us. He delights to meet with His people. He draws us here. The focus is on Him meeting with us. He appeared to His disciples after His resurrection. When? Every time on the Lord's day. He set immediate pattern, putting it in perspective. We meet with our crucified and risen Lord and Savior. The first day of the week, you can read in the last chapters of every gospel of that. Emphatically stated. And the pattern continued. From Pentecost on, even Pentecost itself was the Lord's day. The Holy Spirit confirmed it, sanctified that day. The Spirit of God opened the gospel, the floodgates from the Jews only to the world. All people, all nations, all tongues. That's where they were gathered prayerfully and expectantly. Read Acts 1 and 2. On the Lord's day. And the Spirit was poured upon them in a great measure. Afterwards too, we read in Revelation 1:10 that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he received a revelation. It was and became universal practice of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, even from the very New Testament times into the ancient church, from the very start. Acts 20:7, Paul preached his farewell sermon on the Lord's day. In 1 Corinthians 16:2, we're told to distribute to the relief of the poor, gather on the first day of the week to lay aside for those that are in need. So the claim that it's but a tradition started by the Emperor Constantine the Great is not true. He didn't start it. It was already kept from the very beginning. He just acknowledged it and confirmed it to be indeed a national day of rest according to the Word of God and the practice of the Church, as we did in America for many years. The Lord's Day was truly the Lord's Day. The stores were closed and there was no work done on that day. That doesn't mean America began that tradition. We acknowledged God. We remembered Him. But we remember Him through Christ, who sanctified the day of the Lord when all was accomplished. When Jesus, who was dead, now is alive. So I can preach the gospel on the day that He arose. So, the end of the Old Testament definitely is not the end of keeping Sabbath. Neither will the end of the New Testament be the end of keeping Sabbath. That's why our catechism goes on to say, rightly, secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. On the Christian Sabbath, we are practicing eternal Sabbath keeping. To keep Sabbath, now on the Lord's Day, is then not only something passive, something to receive, but also something active, something to do in response to it. And in doing that, and if you may be led by the Spirit to do that rightly, you begin to have a foretaste of what heaven is. So you could call it an active foretaste. Oh yes, we rest from work. And we rest in God. And we glory in God. Confessing our sins. Trusting in the risen Redeemer. But we also delight in Him. As I read somewhere, we not only exalt Him with an A, but we exult in Him. We find our purpose of life in Him. And we need to come in the house of God and hear the word preached to be reminded of that and to be quickened in it. Where would we be in our Christian walk, dear believers, without the Lord's Day? So that we would be reminded and encouraged and strengthened to cease from my evil works. To die to self. To be convicted of my sins and to confess them and to forsake them. And yield myself to the Lord. Surrender myself. Yes, devote myself to Him. To devote myself. To surrender. You see, we're not only to be remembered, to be reminded of being delivered from sin, but also that it's unto holiness. God is a holy God. And He says through this all, I am holy, therefore be ye holy. So that means that we must rest both passively as well as actively. We must receive, and that begins on the Sabbath day, that begins today, and give, return to Him. And that's what we do during worship. We hear, we return. In our hearts, with our minds, with our voices, we praise the Lord and we sing together. But it doesn't end there. It continues. This afternoon, it continues. Many of us involved in keeping Sabbath this afternoon. When you work at Sunday school, you're keeping Sabbath actively. And the more your heart may be in it, and the more you look to Jesus in it, the more you will delight in it. If you go to the HHOM, it's the same thing. And we pray all together as a church family that more people from the neighborhood may come. The last couple of weeks there weren't too many, if any. Those who go to jail, to the prison, isn't that what the Lord Jesus commanded? We must visit those that are sick and in need and in prison. And as we do it, don't we then do it to Him? Visit the elderly, the sick, the lonely. You can even do that as a family. There's so many ways we can keep Sabbath rather than to focus on the things we cannot and may not do. Focus on all the things you could do and can do. So it's not only about receiving everything on the Sabbath day and giving it the rest of the week. It begins already today on the Sabbath day. And yes, we need rest. I realize that many of us have stressful work. It is true. But you know too, isn't it, dear congregation, that often people say a change is as good as a rest. You can be refreshed if you do something else than just your daily vocation. Many of us that are involved in Sunday afternoon outreaches know that at the end, though physically sometimes exhausted, yet spiritually, mentally, and even sometimes physically refreshed and strengthened because the Lord was in their midst. Isaiah 58, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thy own pleasure, nor speaking thy own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee, hear that? I will cause thee to ride on the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Isaiah 58. In short, keeping Sabbath, love rule number 4, is to look to Jesus and act like Jesus. When he was challenged in Mark 2, as I already referred to that text, when he said that Sabbath is made for man and that he is the Lord of the Sabbath, what did he do? He challenged them as they challenged him. And he healed a man. He did it several times. And then he challenged them and us today. And he said this, and it's a rhetorical question. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil? Now the question answers itself. It's lawful to do good on the Sabbath day. That's Sabbath keeping. Jesus ruled the Sabbath. He obeyed it. Yes, he magnified it in its use to do good works of mercy. That's resting. Resting from your other labor. And it's beginning to have a foretaste and a practice of what eternal Sabbath keeping in heaven will be like. Not just 1 in 7, but 7. 7. To do good. Westminster Catechism, Larger Catechism 117, says making it our delight to spend the whole time in public and private exercises of God's worship. But then it's in brackets it says accept so much of it as is to be taken up in works of necessity and mercy. You want to know how to have your recreation on the Sabbath day? Here it is. That's a perfect recreation. The word recreation is hijacked by the world. They don't know what it is. By the grace of God, we know what it is. There's no recreation like it. That's just what Jesus did. That's how Jesus went about. He went about doing good, we read. Also on the Sabbath day. You see, heaven, we don't know what it is like. But it certainly is not what I thought when I was young, an eternal church service. And I could not understand the appeal of it, that it would eternally be like a church service. As a child, it didn't appeal to me at all. And I believe it's more indeed than that. It's more than worshiping and praising and exalting God, but it's also exalting in God. And it is service of God. as the angels are ministering spirits. They're not idle. So we will not be idle. Adam was not idle in paradise. He worked. He kept Sabbath, but he worked every day, and everything was for the glory of God. Will not the eternal paradise be at least like it or better? We don't understand what it is like. But we do know that the Lord will not only have a new earth, but also a new heaven. And that the two will be merged. We read in Revelation about the heavenly Jerusalem descending from heaven so that Jesus would dwell on that new earth and all those that are His with Him. And they will keep Sabbath there 7 out of 7. We will be, dear believers, forever in our Father's business through Christ. That's what we begin to do. If you keep Sabbath now, to learn more about it, to be trained as it were in it, but also have a foretaste of it. What heaven will be like, I say again, cannot be described, it cannot enter into our minds, cannot be expressed. It's too wonderful, too great, too exalted to be compared with a church service or to do even the best of the work of God, even in outreaches this afternoon. But the more we make use of this privilege, of this gift, of the Sabbath, on the day of the Lord, the more we will see it, taste it, experience it, and practice it. Amen.